We've become real busy here now. I tell you what, man, we've had a busy night already. So I hope you don't fall asleep. And it's been good. I appreciate you being here tonight. Nehemiah chapter number 9. How many of you met Mr. Bill and his wife this morning? All right, Brother Eddie did. You all did. All right, y'all did. You're doing good. Remember last week in Sunday school, I said I asked the guy, Mr. Bill, if their church had a pulpit. Well, that was Mr. Bill, and you know how it is. I was just going through my notes, putting them away, filing this afternoon. I was like, that was Mr. Bill. So I met him last Saturday at Dunkin' Donuts. So it's amazing what you find when you go to Dunkin' Donuts. So anyway, but I was encouraged by that, and let me encourage you to keep on being faithful and inviting folks out. Aren't you encouraged by what God's doing? And I really, really am. And as we traveled all over the country, it was very discouraging for myself and my wife. By the way, I don't know about Chrissy. Chrissy's always upbeat, but I would call her sometimes on the road. I'd be like, Chrissy, it's awful. Here I go preach a meeting, and we're there all, you know, for 3 or 4 days, and then we go back the next year, and it's the same people, and it's the same people a year after that, and that happened on a continuous basis, and there were so many churches that it was us few and no more, and man, if they had a visitor, it's like, wow, that's weird. I'm thankful that it's not weird here. And I'm thankful it's normal, and I thank the Lord for you guys as that you just are friendly, and man, you make folks feel at home, and we're here for others, and a church is it's like a hospital. You know, some come to visit, some come because they're in need, and some come just because, you know, that's what they do all the time. They like the hospital, and then there's normal people like the doctors and nurses, and so that's really what it is, and I appreciate you. And your love for the people, and you're going out of your way to make them feel comfortable. But Nehemiah chapter number 9 in your Bibles this evening, and notice there in verse number 1, the Bible says, now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, and with sackcloths and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers, and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place, and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed, and worshipped the Lord their God. Father, I pray tonight that as we look at this revival there in Jerusalem, that we would desire that to take place in our hearts and in our lives. Father, meet with us. We realize, Lord, the way our nation's going, if we don't have revival, we don't have much longer as a nation. And so we pray that you would begin the work of revival in our hearts tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 85, verse 6. He said this. He said, wilt thou not revive us? He said, God, he said, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? It was Habakkuk that said, Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. As you go through the Old Testament, you see a pattern that has been developed over and over and over, where men of God and ladies of God would begin to pray, and they would begin to ask God to send revival. You say, Pastor, what is a revival? Is a revival an evangelist coming through the church and holding a revival meeting? You know, I'm thankful for evangelists that do that. And by the way, I'll just let you know, here in November, we have an evangelist scheduled, and he's going to come through, and he's going to be preaching the Friday, Saturday, Sunday before Thanksgiving. And just a young man, just got out of Bible college, but man, has some fire about him, and just a tremendous, tremendous testimony for God. And I called him up a couple weeks ago. I said, hey, I want you to come preach for us. And so he's coming over in November time. But you know, a revival meeting is not necessarily a revival. A true heaven-sent revival, is where God's people get right with God, and there is nothing hindering the work of God in and through their lives. And let me say, we need revival. I was listening to Michael Savage on the radio. I don't know if any of you listen to Michael Savage. Usually it's just I'm driving some weird time, and he happened to be on, but you know, he has unique viewpoints, so I don't agree with all that he says, all right? But he said this. He said, if America fails, let me get this right. He said, America is toast unless there is a revival. Understand, Michael Savage is not a believer.
He's a man that studied religions all over the place. But he said that. He said, if America does not have revival, America is toast unless there's a revival. He realizes, you know what? When the foundations, the spiritual churches are dropping off and we're compromising and caving into society, America is going down the wrong path. And let me say, that's exactly where we're at. Man, you look at our nation, and you just look at the young generation coming up. I'm talking about the under 40 generation. Man, there is no authority. The television hosts have done their interviews, and you've probably seen it on Facebook or YouTube, where the interviewer will be like, talking to somebody, and they'll tell them, I'm a Korean that's 6'7", and it's a white guy that's 5'5", you see the interviewer going back and forth talking about his race and his height, and the people just, I don't want to judge you, and I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, and if that's what you think, that's fine. And there's no absolute truth in our society. Man, the foundations are destroyed. The churches aren't preaching like they used to. God's people are not living like they ought to be living. And we live in a desperate day, in a desperate time, where we absolutely, desperately need revival. Revival begins with God's people. The Bible says that judgment must begin at the house of God. It starts with you and it starts with me. And here in Nehemiah chapter number 8 and Nehemiah chapter number 9 and chapter number 10, the walls have been rebuilt, and the people have now gathered with Ezra and with Nehemiah, and together they are worshiping God. Together they are making decisions for God, and we ought to, and we desperately need to, follow in the footsteps of the nation of Israel. Would you notice here in this revival, would you notice first of all here in verse number 1, the ingredients for revival? Number 1, there's got to be brokenness. Look in verse number 1. It says, now on the 24th day of the month, the children of Israel were assembled with, notice, fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. Notice first of all here in this passage, there was a brokenness about the children of God. There was a humbleness, there was a brokenness when they saw their true condition. I wonder, child of God, when's the last time you were truly broken before God? Hey, let me ask you, just to be honest, in the honesty of your heart, when's the last time you maybe were reading your Bible, maybe in a church service, maybe you're driving down the road and God's working on your heart? When's the last time you were broken about where you're at spiritually? I'm wondering, when's the last time there was tears? I wonder, when's the last time there was, Lord, I have failed you. And I think about when Peter betrayed the Lord. He went out and he wept bitterly. I wonder, how long has it been since there's been weeping on your part because of your spiritual state? We look out at the crowd and we're like, well, it's the Supreme Court's their fault. It's President Obama's fault. It's Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton's fault. It's this party or that party. It's this. No, listen, it's me. It's me in need of revival. I wonder, when's the last time I was broken over my sin? When's the last time I saw that my sin grieved Almighty God? And boy, the tears started to flow. And boy, I just fell on my face before God and said, God, you've got to work in my heart. You've got to transform me. God, get a hold of me. There was a brokenness among the people of God. I wonder, how long has it been since you've been broken? In this brokenness, I see that they first of all went without. There was a fasting. We live in a day and time where, you can't give up a meal. Nobody wants to give up a meal, And then we won't go without. We won't go without our gadgets. We won't go without our, coffee. We won't go without our, you name it, we fill in the blank. Man, we are a society that refuses to submit to God. We refuse to surrender to God. And what do? They didn't come to God and say, God, we're going to just come to church and just put on a show and sing the songs and boy, everything's fine. We expect you to send revival. No, they said, God, we're going to prove it. Hey, God, we're going to show you that we really want revival. We're going to fast. I wonder, when's the last time you fasted? When's the last time that you were just so determined to get a hold of God that you said, you know what, I'll go without food. I'll go without food until God answers. I'll go without food until God brings that request my way. I think about a pastor friend of mine up in Maine, Charlie Campbell. I may have told you this story before. Brother Charlie Campbell, 80-something-year-old, old-fashioned, Holy Ghost-filled preacher. I remember preaching for him back last year, and And boy, he was just talking to me, encouraging me in the things of God. He said, Steve, back many years ago, when I first came up here to Limestone, Maine, I was pastoring this small church here, and boy, it's just kind of stale and stagnant. God wasn't really doing much, and people weren't getting saved, weren't getting right. I mean, just a lukewarm church. He said, I was so broken about that. He said, I think it was 23 or 24 days straight, he fasted. He said, man, I just wanted God to move. I wanted God to work. He said, I just drank water. He said, I spent the time in my study with an open Bible, and the tears would flow as I'd pray and seek God. He said, I was alone wrestling with God. He said, after those 23, 24 days, whatever it was, he said, God showed up in my life. He said, I can't explain everything that took place. And he said, God gave me that power. He gave me that might. He gave me that strength. He said, he went out and he preached. And dozens were saved there on Limestone, Maine. That area was touched and impacted with the gospel. Why? Because there was a man that was willing to be broken. He was willing to go without. He was willing to seek God. He said, I don't care what's on television. I don't care what my phone says. Don't care if somebody picked their nose on Facebook. I don't really care. He was willing to go without because he desired God. I wonder, when's the last time you went without in order to get a hold of God? Not only did they go without, but notice they were willing to be marked. He said in verse number 1, it said they were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. They were willing to be marked. You know, these folks didn't put on their Sunday best. Man, they didn't walk around in their Armani suits. No, man, they showed up with sackcloth. Man, there was a sign of mourning. They showed up with the beat up old dirty clothes. Man, where did they show up? They showed up and they showed that they were truly remorseful. They showed up and they said, we are broken before God, and we don't care what people think about it. We don't care what society says. We want God. We want God to work. And they were willing to be marked as individuals seeking God. I wonder, are you willing to be marked at the workplace? Are you willing to step out of the crowd? And are you willing to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven? They went without. They were fasting. They were willing to be marked with sackcloth. But I think about thirdly how they were willing to be dirty. Man, the Bible says in verse 1, and earth upon them. Man, they took dirt. Man, they're covered up in dirt. I believe my memory serves me correctly there in those days when you would mourn and there was a sign of a genuine repentance and a genuine hunger for God. You would take dirt, man. You would be covered with it. And boy, it was just a sign that, man, we want God. We want something to happen. We want there to be change. They were willing to be broken because they truly desired revival. I wonder, when's the last time you were broken before God? Steps for revival. Number one, there was brokenness. Notice in verse number 2. It said, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their father. Number 2, there was separation. Let me remind you, child of God, the Bible says, come out from among them. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You know, we live in a day and time where Christians aren't willing to be separated. They're not willing to separate from the world. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The Bible says that we must set our affections on things above and not on things of this earth. We've got so many Christians that are just focused upon their things. They're focused on their sin. They're focused upon what pleases them. And God says, listen, you've got to be separate. You got to be separated. You've got to be sanctified, set apart. Man, there's got to be a difference between the holy and the unholy, between the profane and the things that are right. I wonder, when's the last time you were willing to sever that off in your life and you were willing to be set apart to Almighty God? Hey, they said, we're going to separate. We want God to work, and so we're putting away the gods which our fathers served in Egypt, like Joshua said, and we're willing to forsake the gods of this land, and we're not going to serve the little G-O-Ds of the day, but no, we are going to be yielded completely to God. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. I wonder, what little G-O-Ds do you have in your life? What is it in your life? Maybe it's a pet sin. Maybe it's a sin nobody knows about. Maybe it's a sin that everybody knows about. What is it in your life that you're unwilling to yield to God? They said, we're willing to separate, first of all, from strangers, from all strangers. They said, we're not going to hang out with that crowd that's not separated unto God. We're going to get around the right crowd. By the way, the church crowd's the right crowd to be a part of. Glad you're here tonight. And man, we're not going to go and conform to the world. We're going to try to stay separated and pure and where God would have us to be. And we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And we need to make sure that we're willing to separate from sin to be conformed to the Savior. There was a brokenness. There was a separation. Notice in verse number 2, there was a confession. It says, and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. Man, they were willing to personally name their sin. They called it what it was. It wasn't just a mess up. It wasn't just a whoops.
But no, they called their sin what it was. Now, we've been hitting that a lot recently, haven't we? It seems like over and over in the messages, boy, calling sin what it is. Jacob called his sin before God, I'm a deceiver. Reuben and Judah, they called their sin what it was. I wonder, when's the last time you told God exactly what you were? When's the last time you said, God, I'm an adulterer. God, I'm a fornicator. God, I've got impure eyes. God, I'm a liar. God, I'm a gossiper. God, I don't read my Bible. God, I don't do this. When's the last time you called your sin what God called it? By the way, God looks at our lives and he says, I expect you to be holy. When's the last time we were willing to confess our sins? It was they personally named the sins. They took care of their sins. But then they went on and they publicly addressed the sins of the previous generation. It says in verse 2, and the iniquities of their fathers. Men, they looked in and they said, you know what, our dad's messed up. You know what, our granddad's messed up. You know what, the great-great-grandparents, boy, they worship Baal. And they worship Ashtaroth. And boy, they followed in the way of the heathen of the land. They intermarried. They did not follow the pure path that God had for them. And they said, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to call it exactly how God calls it. And we're going to get right with God. We're going to confess the sins of our fathers. Think about Nehemiah. When Nehemiah was serving there in chapter number 1, remember he begins to pray to God. And he said, God, I confess my sin and the sin of my fathers. Hey, Nehemiah was not the one that sinned, but you know what? The consequences for the previous generation is big time on our lives. I think about, remember when David was the king? And then there was a famine. I believe there was a famine for 3 years, if my memory serves me. I did not look it up. But I believe there was a famine for 3 years. And David got along with God and said, God, what's going on? God, here I am trying to serve you and trying to live for you. And God, there's a famine. Why? Why is that taking place? And God said when Saul was the king, he attacked the Gibeonites. Remember that? The Gibeonites, they deceived Joshua. And boy, they made a league with the Israelites, and they did not destroy them. And boy, there was agreement together. Well, Saul attacked them, and God said because Saul broke that covenant, Israel was experiencing the judgment of God while David was the king. And then what did David do? David said, you know what? Hey, Saul messed up. The previous generation messed up. You know what David said? David said, God, what's it going to take to get right? And they called the Gibeonites. They said, we want Saul's sons to die. And boy, Saul's sons paid the price because of their daddy's sin. Let me remind you, hey, the previous generation, boy, the sins of the previous generation sometimes hinder the working of God in a church and in individual lives because, man, the sin has not been forsaken. Hey, we've got to get to the place where we're old and say, you know what? Hey, my daddy messed up. Hey, our nation, we've messed up. We've walked away from God. Hey, the public schools and that generation, boy, what did they outlawed the Bible reading. They outlawed prayer. Hey, we messed up in the previous generation. And God, we did wrong. And boy, we let the abortions take place and run rampant in our country. And God, we have sinned before you. And our previous generation has sinned. We've got to be willing to call the previous generation sins out before God before we can ever experience revival. What were they willing to do? They were willing to search. And they were willing to seek out, and they were willing to ask God to send personal revival. There was a brokenness, keys to revival, steps to revival, a brokenness. Number 2, there was separation. Number 3, there was confession. Notice in verse number 3, notice the 4th thing. It says, and they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 4th part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Number 4, I see steps for revival. They were broken. There was separation. There was confession of sin. And now the full spectrum, the full swing has come through where there was fellowship. What do they do? Man, God, we're getting right with you. Now that we're right with you, here's what we're going to do. There was sweet fellowship. There was sweet communion. They stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. Now, you hear about a long time of Bible reading? That's a long time to read. Yeah, I don't know I'm not sure if it was 3 hours or if it's 6 hours. If it was a full 24 hours, it would be 1/4, would be 6 hours. But I'm not sure if it was from 12 to 12 that they counted as the day, because that's how the Jews would work their day. But irrelevant whether it's 3 or 6 hours, man, they read and they read and they read. I wonder, have you ever read your Bible for 3 hours? I'm wondering, has there been a time when you just opened up and boy, you just read it and you read it and you read it and you read it and you read it? I wonder, has there been a time in your life when you've read your Bible? Let me say, when revival takes place in one's life, the Bible is read. You show me a Christian that truly wants revival, I'll show you what they're doing. They're reading their Bible. Don't tell me you want revival and you skip your Bible reading and prayer time. Well, preacher, we need revival. Let's sing revival again. Let's have a revival meeting. Yeah, and you're not reading your Bible. You're not going to experience revival apart from God's Word. We're not going to have revival as a church if we're not in the Word of God. Up there in Trafalgar, Indiana, Mark and Danielle have been to the church there. It's in the middle of nowhere. But I love Brother Hobson. What they do is every Sunday, as folks are entering the church, they give them a little slip of paper. And Pastor Hobson says, all right, I said, I want you to write down how many verses you read this week. And man, they get them when their service is over. Man, everybody hands them in. And man, end of the year, man, they've got hundreds and thousands of verses that they've read. And that's a church that loves the Bible. That's a church that longs for the Bible. That's a church that longs for revival, wants revival. I wonder, are you in the Word of God, child of God? As they were experiencing revival, as they were fellowship, and there was a reading of the Word of God. I see in this fellowship, there was also worshiping. It says in the end of verse number 3, and worship the Lord their God. Then there was a time, a fourth of the day they were reading, and then there was a fourth of the day they were on their face before God worshiping Him. I wonder, child of God, can I ask you, when's the last time you entered God's presence and worshiped? I wonder, when's the last time you got on your knees, maybe you just got prostrate before God, and boy, you see yourself before the throne of grace. You see Jesus Christ high and lifted up. You hear the angels and the seraphim saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. When's the last time you just broken before God? You worshipped Him. When's the last time you told Him how awesome He was? When's the last time you told Him how good He was to you? When's the last time you thanked Him for saving you? When's the last time you didn't ask? You know, so many times when we pray, it's Lord, give me this, 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 and this. And boy, it's a checklist of us telling God what we want. When's the last time you just worshipped Him? You realize in Revelation that they're worshiping, full time the angels are saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. When's the last time you just maybe with uplifted hands, you said, God, you're worthy. Hey, God, you're worthy of my praise. God, holy is your name. Hey, when's the last time that you just got alone before the throne of grace and you truly worshiped Him? Hey, I think about our kids. Boy, we'll sometimes have family dinner time. And boy, I'll tell Josiah or Lily or I'll tell the kids, all right, let's lift hands up. And boy, we'll all lift our hands up, and I'll say, listen, can you truly lift your hands up without wrath and doubting? Are you right with God? When's the last time you lifted up your hands before God and you said, God, there's nothing in my life. I've got clean hands. I've got a pure heart. I'm right with you, and you worship God. Boy, worship is missing in our churches. It's missing in our lives. When's the last time you just fell before God and communed with Him? How long has it been? Child of God, how long has it been? We want revival. We want God to work. We want to see this church grow. We want to see God move and maybe use this church to start another church all throughout Alabama. We want this church to go forward for God. I'll tell you, it's not going to go forward for God if we're not worshiping Him. Because the purpose of this church, the purpose of my life, it's all about Him. It's not about me. It's not about praise. It's not about where I did this. No, it's about Him. It's all about worshiping Him. It's all about God, I wonder. When's the last time you truly worshiped God? Where there was a fellowship, there was a reading, a fourth part of the day, there was a worshiping. And then you go through verse number 6, and really all the way through verse 36, and there was a remembering. Then they begin to pray, they begin to seek God, and they begin to talk to God, and they said, Thou, even Thou art Lord alone, and hast made heaven and the heavens of heaven, with all the hosts of the earth, and all things that are there in the seas, and all that is therein, and Thou hast preserved them all, and the host of heaven worship Thee. Man, you start going through verse 6, all the way through verse 36. Man, you talk about hammer down, smack down, awesome. Man, God's working. Man, they just start rehashing what God's done. God, this is what You did for us. God, You created us. God, You made us. God, You did something great. You made the heaven and the earth. You called us. You changed Abraham. You changed me. You saw our affliction in Egypt, and You were willing to raise up Moses, and You were willing to deliver us out of Egypt, and You were willing to part the Red Sea, and You killed Pharaoh and his army, and God, You guided us with the pillar of fire and with the cloud during the day, and God, You spake from Mount Sinai, and You gave us the law, and God, You provided food and water, and then God, You led us across that Jordan River and conquered the promised land. Hey, God, here's all that You are, and boy, they just rehashed their testimony before God. I wonder, when's the last time you thank God for all that He's done for you? When's the last time you revisited, like Brother Richard and Miss Pat did? Hey, this is when God saved me, and boy, you realize and you remember that God pulled you out of that miry pit, and He set your feet upon the solid rock, and You established your goal. Hey, when's the last time you thank God for rescuing you
from the flames of hell. And we just worshiped him. And hallelujah, God, I'm on my way to heaven because of you. And when's the last time that you worshiped him? And boy, you remembered all that God's done for you. Boy, they remember the good. They remember the bad. They talked about how their parents were proud and they refused to obey and they rebelled and they worshiped the calf. They talked about the three times in this chapter about how they turned from God and they went a horn after the gods of the land in which they dwell. They said, God, you are merciful. God, you're a gracious God. You just didn't wipe us out, but man, you had mercy upon us. And boy, they worshiped and rejoiced in God's mercy and then allowing God to bring going back to God. Boy, it was a wonderful time. They remembered the good. They remembered the bad. And they remembered God's mercy. But what's it take to have revival? What's it take for you to experience the touch of God upon your life? It's remembering. I like that song, how long's it been since you've talked with the Lord? How long's it been since you've visited Calvary? How long's it been since you've seen the nails in your mind that were driven into the Savior's hands and the blood that poured from the Savior's side and from the crown of thorns? And how long's it been since you've seen the whip as it's cracked upon our Savior's back? When's the last time you remembered? We see in the fellowship there was in the steps to revival, there's a brokenness. Number two, there's a separation. Number three, there's a confession. Number four, there's fellowship. Number five, and lastly, look in verse 36. Verse 36, it says, they've come all the way through, they're praying. Boy, they're right with God, they're worshiping God. And it said, behold, we are servants this day. And for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it. What do they do? I see there was a surrenderedness. God, whatever it is, God, we're your servants. God, yes, we're serving the King. Yeah, we're under his leadership. But God, ultimately, we're surrendered to you. God, it's all about you. It's all to Jesus. I surrendered. What were they surrendered in? Look over in chapter 10. And boy, they continue going through. Verse 1 through 27 is a bunch of people that were there on that day that were worshiping. But look in verse number 28. What do they surrender? It says in the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, and the Nethinims, and all they that were separated themselves from the people of the lands under the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, even everyone having knowledge and having understanding, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse, and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, a servant of God. They surrender. They say, God, we'll obey your commandments in verse 29. Verse number 30, they say, God, we're not going to, and it says in that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. They say, God, we're not going to intermarry. Verse 31, they say, God, we're not going to break the Sabbath day. Verse 32 through verse 38, they say, God, we're going to give to the house of God. We're going to tithe. We're going to be faithful in our giving. They made a covenant in verse 39. They said, God, we're not going to forsake your house. What took place as they experienced revival? They said, God, we are willing to surrender everything to you. And boy, folks, that's exactly the results of revival. Somebody completely surrendered to him. I wonder tonight, are you experiencing revival? You know, it's God's will for you to have revival. It's God's will for me to have revival. That's what God desires for each of us. But in order for us to have that revival in our life, in order for America, forget America, in order for Alabama, well, in order for Huntsville, in order for Huntsville Bible Baptist Church to experience revival, it's got to start with you and it's got to start with me. With a true broken heart before God, saying, God, well, I've messed up, I've sinned. I'm willing to separate, I'm willing to confess my sin. I'm willing to fellowship with you. I'm willing to remember. God, I'm going to worship. And God, whatever it is in my life, I'm willing to be surrendered to you. Can I ask you tonight, what is it in your life you're not willing to surrender to God? You say, well, Pastor, I'm making a bunch of money. I got a friend of mine that I went to high school with. And boy, I'll never forget, we talked about ministry. Brian Scott. Remember, I went to a boarding school, and I didn't board there, but friends of mine from all over the country did. Brian was from New Jersey. Well, I remember Brian would come over on a lot of weekends. And then we go skiing together, snowboarding together. We go get pizza together. We go throw papers together, paper out I had. We would hang out in my parents' hot tub, just sit back, relax, and throw snowballs at. I mean, we just had a great time hanging out. Well, I remember many nights we'd be just hanging out late at night. We'd talk about ministry. Brian told me, he said, Steve, he said, I can't wait till God allows me to be a youth pastor. No, God's called me to preach. Can't wait for it. Can't wait to do what God's called me to do. Brian started to run from God. But Brian right now is a big-time weightlifter. He set records for deadlifts, and I'm just a huge, huge man. But you know, Brian's completely out of the will of God. You know, you can have your big muscles. You can have your fame and your picture in a magazine. You know, you can earn big time money from all these sports drinks and protein shakes, and you can be the man. But you know what? I'd rather be surrendered doing the will of God than all that Brian could ever have. What did it come down to? It came down to a place where Brian was unwilling to surrender that one thing in his life. Because of that unwillingness to surrender, Brian's been running from God. Hey, God's touched your heart tonight, child of God. You want revival? Then tonight, surrender. Surrender to Him. I wonder, are you willing to be broken? Willing to be separated? Willing to confess? Willing to fellowship? Are you willing to surrender to God? Revival is possible, but you've got to make the choice. Let's pray together. Father, would you work in this invitation, I pray. I believe you touched hearts tonight, God. I believe there are some tonight that need to come maybe to an old-fashioned altar and just be broken before you. As Chrissy's going to come and play an hymn of invitation, I wonder, maybe God's touched your heart tonight, Christian. Maybe tonight you need to come. As the music is played, I'd just like to extend the invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're not going to make it big and fancy, but maybe God's touched your heart tonight. You need to come to the old-fashioned altar. As Chrissy plays right now, would you come? Maybe you need to be broken before God, humbled before God. Would you come? Would you do business with God tonight? Would you come, Christian? Do you truly desire revival? Do you want God's touch? We need revival. Our church needs a touch of God upon it. Can't do it on our own strength. How about it? You need to come. Surrender to God tonight. Father, thank you so much for your word tonight. And Lord, thank you for speaking to my heart. Lord, if you didn't work in anybody else's heart, I'm thankful you worked in my heart tonight. And I pray, Father, that you would break us. Lord, whatever it takes for me to have revival, I pray you'd do it. Lord, I pray that you do it in the hearts of your people tonight. Lord, help us to take this message with us this week. Lord, I pray that we make an impact for you at the workplace. Lord, amongst our family, I pray in this community, we'd let our light shine for Jesus Christ. Lord, do something wonderful, I pray, in this church. And Lord, now as we get ready to dismiss, I pray that we would honor you and glorify you. God, would you use us to make an impact for Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, church, I love you. My wife loves you. We're praying for you. And I really believe God wants to send revival here. Without a doubt in my heart, in my mind, I believe God wants to do something. But we've got to let Him have His way. So I hope you take this message tonight. Let it apply to your life. And let's make a difference for Christ. Let's all stand together. And let's all pray together. Brother Eddie, would you... Would